We've got the one, the only, Mike Hicks, a.k.a. Mr. Down Bad.
Sir? Sir? Grab me that podcast.
What's going on, y'all? Welcome to How to Nerd, into the Nerdverse, where fandom knows no bounds. I go by the name of Cleo Thomas, a.k.a. Mr. Slick Living, a.k.a. Slick James. My incredible co-host, the one and only, Brennan Edwards. How you feeling today, bro?
I'm feeling good, bro. I've been sick. I'm happy to be over it. I'm living my best life, and I have plenty to talk about today because this is, as you know, one of my favorite subjects that's ever happened. So let's get it. Let's go.
Agreed. We're getting ready to jump all the way into it, man. We got an incredible guest with us here today. He's a comedian. He's a content creator. He's a gaming video creator, and he makes me laugh every single time I see him pop up on my timeline. We got the one, the only, Mike Hicks, a.k.a. Mr. Down Bad.
Sir? Sir? Grab me that podcast.
Appreciate you having me, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. I'm gonna be honest, my favorite moment was while he's introducing you, hearing the spray bottle go like that. Was I was dead at that point. The moment you started doing the spray bottle, I was dead already.
Had to lock in.
I gotta ask, bro, before we even get into the full topic of today, like, this character you've created, it's for sure gonna live in internet history and infamy as well. When did the spray bottle sweat become a part of the moment?
So I'm naturally already a crazy sweater. So okay. The first time I started making these videos, I was naturally sweating in the videos. And I noticed people were always like, yo, he's always sweating, always sweating. So I was like, I might as well double down on the sweat, get the spray. I started spraying bottles, throwing Vaseline on the skin so the sweat would sit right. It just became his own thing. So now every time I travel, I always got a bottle with me. Always got to have something to disperse the liquids.
Man, pause? You know what? Phrasing, boom.
Yeah. I'm just like, to feel like a pause in there or something. Like, that was...
Bro, it's such a great character, man. And it's something that just proof of, like, the internet being able to give people moments that will always either stand the test of time, and people always run back to it to laugh about it, man.
Facts.
Happy to have you on the podcast today, bro. And, Brennan, I know you're excited for today, just as I am, because today's topic is all about what we consider to be a key factor in great storytelling.
But the key factor.
It is. And that is a villain. Because every hero needs a villain. Yes. But some villains don't just support the story, they become the story. All right. And today we're diving into the most unforgettable villains in movie history. All right. Got a question for you guys out the gate. Aliens land and ask you to explain Earth using only three movies. What are they?
I'm putting Friday in there first. Like, Friday.
Explain Earth?
Yep. Okay. And the thing is, like, no matter who's explaining Earth, it's going to be colored by some form of perception based on the culture they know. And right. So, you know, like, I'm going to be like, look, there's going to be some worldly, like, kumbaya shit movie that we're going to put in there to be able to make sure they understand, you know, this good part of humanity or whatever. But like, Friday tells us about the flavor of humanity. It tells us about the way that we can live this life and enjoy it, even though it might be shitty. You know, it tells us, like, you ain't working, then you might want to get high and still, you might get fired on your day off. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. It tells us a lot, you know, and also to pay attention to the details. Because if you didn't know, the beginning of that movie, Friday, the TV that Craig got fired for stealing or whatever. You see you see my man running through with the very opening credits. You see the homeless dude running through the neighborhood with the TV box in his arms. So he didn't even do it. Yeah,
Ezell is the one that stole it, not Craig. Yeah,
I didn't know that. I never caught that.
Yeah, the movie. The more times you watch that movie, the more things you see. They paid attention to every detail and every frame in that movie.
Absolutely. Oh, cool. Mike, what you got from me? He threw one out there, man. What do you got?
I would probably say, like, Forrest Gump. You know what I'm saying? Forrest Gump. I would want them to watch a movie where after they watch it and be like, you know what? Humanity might not be so bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, Friday has
I don't know. That they, Bro, the woman in Forrest Gump was...
I was going to say, the villain, she's being a villain.
She is the top-tier villain.
She was, Kanye. Yeah, she was a villain. She was a villain, for sure.
Top-tier villain.
Jenna is a little bit of a villain, yes.
100%. But then, now, the way she grew up, though, you got to remember her backstory. Her backstory was kind of bad, too.
Yeah.
She didn't come from the greatest...
Nah, she ain't got to treat him like that, man. This man literally moved mountains for her. Like, he ran across the world. Like, what? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, she did not care. Like, mm-hmm. She was like, whatever.
And then keeping that kid was kind of nasty work. She didn't tell that dude about that kid for a long, long time until it was like...
The guilt got her, bro. The guilt. Yeah, she needed him after he became rich. Well, like, the fact that he had to walk in there to see her around the Black Panther party. And it's like, this ain't an episode of Blacked? This ain't like Black way back in the day. Whole other conversation for another
Cleo,
day.
What's Black? What's Black? I don't know what that is. What is that? I don't understand.
You know, you don't understand it. I'm sure Mike does, and I'm sure the audience does.
Don't throw me under the bus, bro, everyone
throwing their hands up like my man's content is 100% speaking about the same subject matter. If I had to throw my movie into this description, you gave Friday, he gave Forrest Gump. I kind of want to play a trick on aliens, man. I want to tell them like, oh, the fifth element. That's what our whole planet's about. The fifth element. You got your four elements, but the fifth element is love, and possibly Bruce Willis just banging Mila Jovovich at the very end of the film.
Such a great movie.
Such a great movie. And great villain. That movie had another dope villain in that movie.
Jean-Baptiste Emmanuel Zorg, incredible villain.
Made that movie.
It's crazy. Like, I'm gonna throw this little fun factor out there. The villain and the hero never actually see each other the whole movie.
Oh,
mind blown. They never see each other. They pass right by each other in the elevator when the ship is blowing up. Bruce is carrying Lilu. He gets into the elevator and Zorg comes out before the ship blows up. That's the only time they're even close to meeting each other.
That's crazy.
I didn't.
You know what I thought you were going to say for the record, though? I honestly thought you were about to be like, Independence Day, don't mess with us. Like, y'all coming down here just saying, like, if you want to smoke, you can get it. Like, because we don't play. You know, come in peace or come and leave in pieces. Like, that's just what this is.
I like the Will Smith throw in there because it's like, he actually did punch the alien too. And then we could back up footage. Like, we could bring up footage from most recently. It's like, no, he still may put hands on you. He just may.
Yeah.
The point of all of this, man, is we're talking about villains and we're going to have,
I just got that joke. I hate you so much right now.
You just caught that?
That took a second. Cause I was in Men in Black. I thought you were going to do a Men in Black reference. I'm sorry. Please continue. I'm just.
Yeah. Just really. Yeah. He has a lot of aliens.
Yeah, I didn't know about that too.
Yeah. Good catch. When it comes to villains, right? Is it the performance? Is it the motive? Is it the writing, the aesthetic, or all of the above? You know, when we think of what a villain's characteristics are, charisma, unpredictability, a tragic backstory like Jenna, or, you know, like Heath Ledger's Joker, chaos incarnate, if you ask me, right? Maleficent or Darth Vader, compelling arcs, power, and presence. Mike, would you consider Down Bad Man a villain?
Oh, God. Here we go.
He's definitely a villain. He doesn't see himself as a villain, but he's definitely a villain. Yes, 100%. But I wouldn't want to be rude. I wouldn't want to, like, kick it with him. Like, I wouldn't want to see him in a dark alley.
It's the visual of him with the eyes in a dark alley. That's,
you know what I'm saying?
For sure. I mentioned just a few villains, right? And even us bringing up the fifth element, we threw that villain out there. But if I could ask everyone here, what is your number one villain of all time? All time. The guy that you don't even care what his backstory and what the hero did to. Nah. Who is your guy and you stand by him through and through?
I got a new one. I'm ready. It just happened. This just dropped. It's not a movie. It's from a TV show. but my whole life was changed by a villain because I'm a huge fan of villains. I'm a huge fan of villains just doing their thing for their own motivation and their own reasons. There is a villain. Okay, it's Cleo. He's like, do you know where I'm going with this, Cleo?
No, I don't. I can't wait to see, though.
Oh, bro. My new favorite villain of all time that I will put up against any villain ever is Conquest.
Oh, wow. Oh,
yes. Okay. Conquest is not here for games. Like, there is absolutely zero fucks given. Like, there is, I've never seen a villain show up with the absolute resolve, discipline, motivation, and follow through that Conquest showed up with in Invincible. I have never seen anyone wreck the hero and all his homies and all the earth with zero regard, even pushing him through people to be able to prove a point. To remember, your dad did this too. Ooh. You know what I'm saying? Like, this man is the most villainous villain I have ever seen. And I gotta say, toe-to-toe with any villain ever, fight me. Like, that's where I'm at right now.
Oh.
That's my favorite villain. I was watching that episode and I was like, I was standing in my seat just like, this dude, like, he's for real.
For those that don't know, Conquest is a character in the Invincible story. Of course, Invincible has the animated series running on Prime Video right now, but it is a comic book series that took the world by storm when it first came out. And then now to have this adaptation animated wise, people fell in love. People are all the way in for it. And Conquest shows up in the season finale for, is this season two we're on? I think we're on season three.
Season three.
Conquest shows up at the finale of season three. And if you thought Mark, AKA Invincible, has been beat up before, boy, you ain't nothing yet. And a great monologue as well, but we can get into that a little bit later if you would like. But I got to ask Mike, talk to me, man. Number one villain on your list, you co-sign him.
Number one villain? I got to say Walter White, man, from Breaking Bad. It got to be him because he's the worst type of villain. He think he's doing it for all the right reasons. He low-key a mom. He think he's doing it for his family. It's like, no, he just love the game.
Yeah,
he does love serving that high quality methamphetamine, man. And he like doing crazy, like what I liked about him, bro, it was like any situation, whenever he would put his back against the wall, that's when he would do the most vile, crazy, wild shit and justify it. Like,
yeah,
nasty work. And it turned that bad at that old age. Like, you an old man, you become a villain. Like, damn, bro.
Yeah, not a lot of resolve.
You know the saying, either you die a hero, live long enough to become the villain.
You live long enough to become the villain, man. And yeah, I got to give it to you, man. I ended up watching Breaking Bad for the first time maybe about 4 years ago. I just binged it. And I fell in love with the series just like everyone else. I was like, okay, I understand why it was what it was. And he goes through some stuff, man. He goes through some stuff. Now, the moment that really had me kind of like siding with him is when he lost it on his wife when he went looking for the money. And that meme is iconic of him screaming underneath the house. But bro, I was, and she's asking what she do. Like, she don't know what she did. He lost it. Yeah. I'm like, all right, anything after this, no holds barred. Whatever he's going to go do, I co-sign it. Great choice, bro. Great choice. We got Conquest. We got Walter White. I'm going to throw mine in here really quickly, man. I just recently finished binge watching The Sopranos for the very first time. All right. And listen, if you haven't watched The Sopranos, you've heard all the hype about it. You know, this series really did take the world by storm way before social media. So I can only imagine what this would have been like during that era. Oh, my God. I've been insane. The series follows the great Tony Soprano, played by James Gandolfini. And let me tell you something. He's supposed to be our protagonist because we're following his story. No. Tony Soprano is 100% a villain. 100%. The things that this guy does, he says, the way he treats people, his crew, his family, he is a villain. And he has 100% jumped up to the number one on my list. He's a villain, bro. Have you both of you guys watched Sopranos?
I've seen, I love Sopranos. Bro, he's like the blueprint. That show's like the blueprint for a lot of other shows, man. Because I don't think there were a lot of shows who were doing main characters that were like bad guys like that. Like, for real, when you say he's a villain, like, you watch that show, it's like sometimes you'll watch a show, though, the main character will be a villain, but they have some charisma or something about him that makes him like charming. Tony was just a nasty, terrible dude. Like, it's just straight. Dude, he would never, anytime he had a chance to do something that could redeem him, he wouldn't. He would always pick the worst option.
No redeeming qualities about Tony Soprano. None.
I didn't see this, but the only thing that this reminds me of is I recently watched that the series The Penguin. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, it sounds like y'all describing him to me, you know, like The Penguin. Like, yeah. the way that first season ended, I was like, this dude.
Yeah. Like, isn't the Penguin only going to do one season, though? There's not going to be another season of it, right?
I don't know. There could be. There could definitely be another season, but I don't know if I want to see it. I'm already heartbroken from season one.
It was shot with the intention of it to just be a standalone. The reaction is definitely had people really itching for a season two. We have not got any announcement about that, but when they originally rolled this thing out, it was no intention of having a season two. But I'm here for it, man. Of course, Colin Farrell bringing the Penguin to life. Complete different transformation, by the way. Not only in his mannerisms, not only in his delivery of the lines, his accent, but of course the special effects makeup that went into making him Oswald Cobblepot. Incredible. Increíble, bro, if you ask me.
Crazy.
I got to ask you guys. Here's some iconic villains we got, right? We've got Freddy Krueger, Scar, Lord Farquaad, Mike Myers, Agent Smith, Hans Gruma, Cruella de Vil, Gollum, Darth Vader. Here's John. Jack Torrance. But why does he say here's Johnny? For Jack Nicholson in The Shining. Oh. Huh. I never thought about that. Gustavo Fring, Hannibal Lecter, Jigsaw, T-1000. Oh, Commodus. Oh, I forgot about Commodus.
Commodus.
Dolores Umbridge and Thanos. Okay, this is a solid list of iconic villains, bro. Who stands out in this? Who's got a story about what one of these villains made them feel? Who do you got?
I mean, there's two on here that made me want to punch a TV on multiple occasions. Scar, like, that's probably like the first heartbreak of my life, watching Mufasa die. Mm-hmm. Commodus. Like, Gladiator is like my favorite movie ever. And Commodus was horrible. Like, horrible. Yes. Like, you're my sister, but also you're gonna do
what I say. Talk about down bad, bro. Talk about down bad.
I am the emperor of this land, but there is only one that I'm looking to conquer. Which is insane. I was sickened by him. Like, I was just like, how? Like, I needed him to die. I needed like, it was like, can you imagine if that movie would have ended with Commodus winning, like him killing Maximus and then saying, as we were, man. Like, can you imagine the public outcry? Can you imagine like how there would have had to have been a Gladiator 2 immediately? Like, there would have been no choice. Like, no, we have to watch him die, because if that would not have happened, like, I wouldn't have been able to sleep. Like, this man was the worst villain. Like, just how he talked and how he moved and how he interacted with the kid and just everything. Like, I was like, this guy is just, and he killed his dad, who was the coolest old guy ever.
Yep. There's one villain on here you didn't put. What's it? Michael Jackson's dad from the Jackson 5 movie? That's who you should have put on this list. He definitely should. The actor, wasn't it? Who was playing?
Hold on.
Why can't I get his name?
Actor. It was
Lawrence Hilton Jacobs.
Lawrence Fishburne. Wasn't it Lawrence Fishburne who played Michael Jackson's dad?
No, it was Lawrence Hilton Jacobs.
Played Ike Turner.
Okay.
No, it was Lawrence Hilton Jacobs.
Lawrence Hilton Jacobs. Please, if you pull up a picture of him. Bro, that was a villain right there, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Good call.
He played that villain so well. That made you, I made me hate the actor. Like, that was just, like, I could not even lock in with the actor.
Yeah, that's him. That guy.
I mean, that's the same thing. I feel the same thing about Commodus. Like, he was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be on The Sixth Sense now. Like, I'm not watching that movie. Like, man. I'm not watching that. I don't want to see you in anything. Like, I don't want to see you in anything. You need to die. Like, we're not cool. I don't care. Like, you know. To this day, if I saw him in the street, I'd be like, I don't even know who that is. Or I fight. It's just gonna be on. It's gonna be on site.
So Joaquin Phoenix gets no points for putting on a great performance as Commodus. Of course,
Signs. I meant Signs, not Sixth Sense.
He's in Signs. Yeah,
yeah, Signs. That's what I meant. Yeah.
He gets no points for putting on a great performance in that. Then giving us the Joker much later, years later.
We can go into the Joker. We can go into that. Like, it's gonna be a hot take. People gonna hate me for it. But we can go into the Joker.
No, we'll get there. We'll get there. Mike, from that list, you didn't see, of course, Lawrence Hilton Jacobs up there, but who else on that iconic list that made you feel something?
Man, Mike Myers, yeah. Agent Smith. Mike Myers, Agent Smith, bro. Because Mike Myers just had me, I was just scared. That shit was, like, I think Mike Myers was right around the time when Chucky was around. Like, all those scary movies had me spooked. Like, I could not sleep for days off of those movies. And Agent Smith, man, I don't know. He was just a dope villain. Like, I just remember him. Like, I remember that scene where Neo was in the office and they put the little worm in his stomach, bro. That shit was crazy. When he was getting chased through the office and he was, like, ducking down and running from the agent. Classic. Like, that was just one of my favorite villains, easily.
Dang, bro. It's what? Because The Matrix definitely is in my top five favorite films. But I never looked at Smith as one of the reasons why. I just love the aesthetic of it, for sure. I love the story of it. But I got to give, you're right. Like, if we don't have Smith to be that guy that's pushing Neo to be him, be the one, like, it doesn't work.
The agents in Matrix, in the first Matrix, the agents had motherfuckers scared. Like, they was running through the city trying to find phone booths. Like, bro, they was always trying. And then at the end of the movie where he finally confronts the agent, they going on a crazy fight. Bro, that was just, like, a good villain just amplifies the movie, bro, because you're just like, you want to see him get beat. It makes you so much more interested in the growth of the main hero. Like, oh, man, you need it.
And the crazy part is he was everyone. That's the thing that got you about Agent Smith. It's like everyone around you at all times is him. So it's like, you know, you're in the Matrix, then if he's aware of your existence in the Matrix, you have problems. Yeah. Like, you have problems. Like, that's it. Get to a phone booth or you have problems.
Dead ass, man. I got
kind of reminds me of that game Doorknob back in the day.
Doorknob?
You never played Doorknob? Oh, wow. No. Okay.
Doorknob? What villain ass story is from Doorknob?
No, let's relive some of my childhood trauma. Doorknob was a game that you play. If somebody farted if you don't say safety after you fart, then if they say doorknob, then you are free reign to get socked up. Like, it's until you get to the doorknob. When I tell you, there have been some epic moments with that, because you get toe up. Because then it's also everybody's goal not to let you get to the doorknob. So that's kind of what reminds me of, like, you know, the Agent Smith things. They're all trying to get to the telephone booth, but they're trying to make sure you don't get there and knock in and throw them hands while you're getting there.
They beating the shit out of you on the way.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You just have gas, and then now you're getting your ass whooped. This is your
ass. God, you gotta say safety, man. You gotta say safety.
We were terrible children, man. I look at this.
When you get somebody else, it was the greatest thing ever. You're like, doorknob, yes!
Turns into SmackDown. It sucked, bro. Yeah,
that's fun until you end up shitting your pants in front of the hoes, man. It's like, hey, we can't be playing.
Can you imagine grown men bringing that back? Like, you know how we got this whole conversation about dudes who be showing off when the girls around? Imagine they start doing that. They bring this idiotic stuff back.
Well, if you farting around the girls while you hanging out with the dudes, then you deserve your ass whooped. You deserve to get your ass whooped anyway. So, like, yeah. It'd be no problem. Nobody would have a problem with it.
Farting to the two man is crazy. That's absolutely great.
Karen, the from my pick of this list, man, I gotta go with Scar. Scar is my guy for sure. I'm a huge Disney guy, but you know, having a brother put a hit out on you, succeed at it, and then send his goons to go kill his own nephew. Bruh. He's cool. A loser. And he backhanded his sister-in-law. And he smacked Sarabi. And there was a cutout scene where he was supposedly getting at Nala. Scar was the worst. There's the worst Disney villain of all time. We didn't put Claude Frollo up there for Disney villain. I don't know if you guys seen The Hunchback of Notre Dame. One or two?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, he's pretty serious. I've seen it. It's
Frollo's whole thing was lust, and he threatened to burn down Paris if the woman wouldn't get with him. He had a whole song called Hellfire in which he says, God, I've done everything for you, but I need this woman. And if you're not going to make her come to me, I'm going to burn down Paris. That's the synopsis for that whole song.
That is that.
You want to talk about down bad?
He said.
Can I get a Sir Paris just for a moment, please?
Sir, please let me get some of this Unani. I'ma burn the whole city down.
Bro, get this man a glass of water.
Dog, he was wilding for that woman. It was a wild time, man. All right, question for the class, dog. This is a great one. Which villain, in your opinion, got the most character development and became the most well-rounded, in you guys' opinion?
That's a good question.
Character development and became the most well-rounded. And when we say that, I'm trying to figure out, do we mean like they ended up becoming good or they still stayed as a villain?
Because our producer is telling me that they had to stay a villain. Because I was going to say Vegeta. Vegeta's a good pick because that man has been on a spectrum. You know what I'm saying?
That's a really good question. A well-developed villain.
I'm going to stick with Vegeta. And here's why. Vegeta, like... If you don't know, Vegeta is a character from Dragon Ball Z. He is the B character of Dragon Ball Z, but that wasn't always the case. The show starts off with the main character protagonist, Goku, finds out he's an alien, and he finds out because his brother shows up to Earth, and he has to end up dying to kill his brother, comes back to life. And then his brother put the call out, the Hooty Hoo, out to his homie, who's also of the same alien race, Vegeta and Nappa, his homie Nappa. They show up to Earth, and Vegeta and Nappa starts laying waste to all Goku's friends. Goku beats up Nappa. Vegeta is disgusted with Nappa's weakness to lose to Goku, kills him, and then proceeds to put the hands on Goku. And the only reason Goku ends up winning is because the people of Earth and all the things around ended up saving him, where Vegeta doesn't even die. He also still escapes after everybody comes together to get him. He leaves, meets back up with him in another planet with another villain who's even bigger. He gets killed. Vegeta gets killed. By that villain, comes back to life as still a villain, gets to witness Goku beating that villain, and then Vegeta is sent to the place back to Earth. And let's be honest, pussy changed him. Bulma was like, yeah, you all real angry like that, but like for real though, show me your anger, all of it. That's what she said to Vegeta. And guess what, guys? He's a good guy now, right? But that energy never left this man. He never left this man because the next saga after that, the Cell saga, he gets a little too arrogant, gets his ass whooped when he shouldn't. But then it's like, all right, cool, whatever. You know, it's Goku's son has to kill that guy, Cell. And then the next saga, Vegeta's like, nah, F that. I'm done being a hero. Let's get my ass whooped. Put the M on my head. What magician, whatever, you know, Babidi, put the M on my head. I'm here to get back to my villainous ways because that's when I was free. And he proceeded to lay the hands on Goku when he got that M back on his head. And then, of course, because that's what Vegeta does, he lost again. Because that's what villains do. And all I'm saying is, in all universes, that's what happens. Villains lose. And so the reason why I say Vegeta has the best character development as a villain is because he constantly fucking loses. And that's what villains always do. And so Vegeta takes more L's than anybody else, but he gets back up. I give him that. He gets back up. He never starts striving. And so I think that Vegeta is one of the most well-rounded, well-developed villains because his arc continues to this day. Right now, he seems like he's still all good, but we're going to get into some other spaces when he gets into his alter ego and stuff like that, where I think we're going to see some reversion back to who he used to be. And for the record, Cleo, I think you are a Vegeta fan. I go back and forth depending on the day, but normally somebody, all they do is take L's. I can't put their logo on my chest. I can't do it. I can't do it. All you do is take L's, bro. Like you beat the cannon fodder. So, oh yeah, who did Vegeta beat? That purple guy, you know what I'm saying? This whatever, you know, just like he ain't beat nobody for real. You know, even when Vegeta was about to beat Frieza's ass, he lost that too. Cause Frieza blew up the earth and killed him. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like the man can't win to lose. That's it. That's my pick. Okay. Unless you got something to say back to that, Cleo, I'm just out of curiosity.
Solid breakdown. That was an incredible soliloquy of Vegeta hate. But Mike, I gotta ask you, man, throwing it up there, throwing the ball to you.
Okay. Are we allowed to pick an anime character? You mean to pick an anime character?
Anything.
Okay. I would say Light Yagami.
Death Note.
I would say he was like a well-developed villain. You know what I'm saying? Because when you first saw him, he was kind of innocent. He was just a super smart kid, doing well in school, finds the Death Note, dang, starts experimenting with it. At first, he's like kind of like, what could this do? Then next thing you know, he gets the God complex. By the end of the series, he's willing to sacrifice his family, friends, everybody. You know what I'm saying? He even betrays himself at the end. Like, bro, he was willing to whatever. So I'm gonna say Light from Death Note, man.
Bro, that one to me is very valid. Mm-hmm. Brennan's, you know, Vegeta hate is Vegeta hate, and I understand it. He's not right. Nothing he's saying is wrong. He's wrong point. I just don't have to be receptive to any of it. But when it comes to Light Yagami being a well-rounded villain, dog, you're right.
I'm with it. I agree with that. That's a really good thing.
We see that he's not a good guy, and we go through this whole journey with him losing the Death Note, losing his memory that he plotted to lose just to get it back and become 10 times worse.
Yes.
He had his dad on the deathbed and was like, sign the name. Bro, what? Nah, you're right. You're right. All of it. Well, then, because then we get Code Geass, right? And Lelouch is put in the same ballpark. No. They just consider them both smart. So I got to agree with you, bro. Light Yagami, it might be the best choice coming from the anime side.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I think that's a very, very solid choice. Very solid choice.
Good choice, bro.
And a great anime. If you haven't seen that anime or manga, man, get into it. It's
a good starter, too. Yeah. For people who don't watch anime, like that's one of the ones that I recommend. Like, I just want to see all these people throwing beams and fighting and stuff like that. Don't worry about it. Watch Death Note. Mm-hmm. I just watch Death Note. Yeah. You'll understand. You'll be hooked. Don't worry.
Psychological warfare.
Watch the anime. Don't watch the live action. Watch the anime.
No, yeah. Don't watch the live.
You're giving me PTSD, bro. I'm sorry, my bad. You know, loving, absolutely loving this anime. Still do. Still in my top five. And I remember when the rumors started circulating in Hollywood that they were going to do a live action Death Note. And then I get an audition for it, and I get the script, and I'm reading the scenes for the self-tape, and I'm looking at L's lines, and I'm like, this is not even close to what the hell Death Note really is about. And then I found out there was going to be a film. I was like, they're going to screw it up. They're going to screw it up.
I can't think of an anime live adaptation that's being – people say the One Piece one is – I haven't seen the One Piece.
That's what I was going to say. No, the One Piece one is good. The One Piece one is good. It's the only – adaptation I've ever seen in any anime that was like, this is good. And then the Avatar one came out, and I was like, this is actually not bad either. Like, I like the newest Avatar one and the Monkey D. Luffy, the One Piece. Those two are the only ones for me that get a pass.
Because I mean, I just like One Piece too much. I don't want to watch it and be disappointed. I'm telling you,
it's good.
Man.
It's good. I'm telling you, it's good.
Okay. I'm going to check it out.
Mike, I'm going to throw this out there to you, man. I want you to go to YouTube, and I just want you to look up UALA. Just look up UALA.
Yo, Mike. Yo, Cleo just put you on, bro.
If you want to see what live-action anime adaptation is supposed to look like, I want you to watch that. And then come back to me.
Okay.
Cleo Thomas has spoken. That is law. Like, he has just laid upon you the greatest gift you're going to experience.
Okay, I got it quite tab some open. Time. I got it ready.
My brother, woo! You like, yo, I, you know, Cleo, I couldn't agree more. I stand by my previous recommendations, but I think when it comes to like the throwing of the hands, the action, what you want in a live action, I agree with Cleo. The most anime feeling show that I've seen is UALA. But the best show made from an anime is One Piece. I'll say that the One Piece one is like this. It is One Piece. It feels like One Piece, but it doesn't feel like anime. It feels like its own show. That's just good. Is what it feels like to me. It's like, this is just a good series. They did it. They did it well. You want Monkey D. Luffy to win when you watch it. Like, you're like, okay, I like this guy. Okay. You know what I'm saying? That's why you watch anime. You like Monkey. You know what I'm saying? Like, you like these characters. You see parts of yourself or parts of what you want to be. And then they accomplished that in this. I'll say that it's worth it.
A lot of great stuff coming out, man. There's tons of more, you know, great adaptations on the way. I think we're finally finding our footing and our rhythm when it comes to getting what we want as fans and as consumers when it comes to them doing any kind of adaptations. But today's whole episode is about villains. So we're going to jump back into that topic. Which villain do you think is the most misunderstood?
I want to go on a rant about the movie The Joker, so I'm going to use this question to do that.
Go for it.
So first and foremost, like, I think that movie misunderstood The Joker. Because
The Joaquin Phoenix.
Yes, the one where it's just him, right? That's the Joaquin Phoenix.
That movie. Not the Lady Gaga, Dula, Doe, whatever.
I did not see that movie. Cool. I heard that I do not need to see that. The first one. Yes. I believe that movie misunderstood the idea of what the Joker was. I feel like they were like, we have this art film that's really cool about this guy who has mental illness, and we think this will be a really, really cool movie. And they're like, nobody's gonna watch that. They're like, what if we call it The Joker? Like, put the face paint on and let's just do that. And the reason I say that is that who is the protagonist associated with The Joker? Anybody?
Batman.
And what is Batman's title? Like, what is his tagline of when you read the comic specifically, and you know, Ra's al Ghul gives him his title. What is the title he says? What is the people think that everybody says? What is he the greatest at?
The detective.
The greatest detective in the world. And he can't figure out the Joker because he also acknowledges the Joker's intellect. He acknowledges the Joker's leadership abilities. He acknowledges that the Joker has the ability to outthink and outperform him on a consistent basis. Because he does all the time. The Joker is always one step ahead of the greatest detective in the history of the world. In this Joaquin Phoenix movie, this guy is an idiot who continuously fumbles into lucky moments and situations that just end up benefiting him. This is not the Joker. This is an art film that they put the mask and the clown makeup on of the Joker and called it that. They shot it beautifully. It's a great story, standalone, outside of it being The Joker. I think it's a fantastic movie, actually. It's just a solid movie and a solid story. It is not the DC comic version of The Joker. It is not the Dark Knight universe version of The Joker. There is no space in that story for a Batman. He does not exist in that space because he couldn't exist in the space, because then you'd have to dilute Batman to a point of plain stupidity for him to be able to compete with Batman. And so for me, I think the biggest misrepresentation of a villain ever is that. That movie made me so mad. I left the theater like ready to hurt somebody, because I was so excited because I love villains. I love the Joker. I'm like, they made a movie just for the Joker after we already saw what Heath Ledger did. And they dared to make a movie called that after this. It has to be incredible. People are saying this is great. I have never been so disappointed by a movie walking out of a theater, because that is not the Joker. That is not a movie about that character. And it was misrepresented. And I stand on that. That's the hill I die on. Fight me.
And also, don't forget, second movie, he really isn't the Joker.
I didn't see the second movie, so I can't even speak to it. I wasn't watching no more of that motherfucker. I was done.
So we now know Brennan's origin story of becoming a villain. It was watching this fake villain Joker come to life. Yeah. And Mike, you called it, bro. Like, I remember hearing Brennan talk about this before, and I'm like, yo, I think he, in this universe that this film takes place in, he's supposed to be the origin for someone else to take that mantle and become the said Joker thing that we know and we identify, Brennan now identifies as being, you know, the villainous version of him.
But I don't identify as the Joker. I just said that I'm a fan of a great villain, and the Joker is a great villain. That's all.
Absolutely. Mike, when you hear this breakdown, it makes me want to ask, like, we've had incredible portrayals of that character. Iconic. The Joker will go down in history, and there's been generations since his first iteration in a comic book years ago. Mm-hmm. And people born in the early 2000s can see the Joker for the first time and instantly be captivated by his look, his style, how he plays Batman like a fiddle. So all these different iterations we've had. Jack Nicholson. Of course, Heath Ledger, Jared Leto, Joaquin Phoenix, Mark Hamill. No one likes to throw Mark Hamill in there from the Batman the Animated Series. That's
I agree.
That's He's in there for me for sure.
Yeah,
we've had some iterations in video games as well. Mike, I got to ask you, who's your favorite portrayal of Joker?
Heath Ledger. Heath Ledger. Man, hands down, Heath Ledger. That scene where he's in the back of the cop car and he's hanging out the window and the wind's blowing and. Bro, it's Heath Ledger, hands down. Like, and also that movie was what was the name of the movie? It was The Dark Knight. That's such a good movie too. Like from the opening scene where he's robbing the bank and then they're killing each other, and the last one is the Joker. It's like for him to even do a plan like that. That's such a risky, crazy plan. He doesn't know who could betray him. It's like, bro, that's the first plan we're going to see you do. It's like, we already know you're crazy. Like, Heath Ledger, hands down. It had to be.
It's wild because when the film came out, obviously it took the world by storm. You know, Heath ends up passing out before the movie even comes out. He passed away. And then like that.
He gave his life for that role.
And then that started playing into kind of like people's theories as far as like why it's going to be infamous because, yo, like, you know, what was really going through his mind? Then you see the performance and you're like, yo, what was really going on?
Method actor.
When we think of like a lot of these projects, a lot of these films, like there's always like this power struggle between the director and the studio and the actors and the writers. And it feels like when we can go back and watch it now that he had free reign to do whatever he wanted and did. Right. And the only person I can kind of like compare it to, it's another actor who played the Joker. When I watched the behind the scenes of how they made the film The Departed, and Jack Nicholson he told Scorsese, like, no, when he first offered him the role, he's like, nah, I'm not feeling it because it doesn't connect with me. And then Scorsese went back to Jack again and he was like, I'll give you free reign to do whatever you want with this character. So then you hear Leo talk about working with him. He was like, I was on edge constantly because I didn't know what Jack was going to pull. I have the lines, but next thing I know, there's a severed hand that he's now playing with his blood. He had a loaded gun on set. He was wild. So it's like, yo, what was Heath like in those moments? I understand why it is. I understand because that helped define a generation of comic book fans and movie watchers. People who weren't even comic book fans watched The Dark Knight, saw Joker's Heath Ledger's performance, and was like, this is the best thing I've ever seen. So it's number one for you. Can I get a number two, Mike?
Number two. Who would be number two for me, man? You picked the Joker from the animated series. The Joker from the animated series, if we're talking about the same one... The classic Joker, one we're always thinking about, the one where he had like the black hair with the green sleek through it. He would always be hanging out. Yeah, that's a really good one. I mean, I would probably say that's my second one.
That's Mark Hamill, right?
That's Mark Hamill, aka only Luke Skywalker. When I hear Joker, I hear that.
Literally what I'm hearing, I just heard his voice. I'm hearing that's whose voice I'm hearing. Yeah.
Yeah. That big laugh. Like it's so like, and to think that this wasn't played out where we saw him. This is through an animation style and you still feel that character. So yeah, that's my number one Joker. Brennan, obviously it's not Joaquin.
I mean, I'm going to agree with that. I'll just go with my number three and say Jack Nicholson for number three. You know, because like one and two, I think is set like easily, you know, Jack Nicholson. I'm sorry, I didn't say Nichols, but either way, that's how I feel. I feel like I'm stuck. Like the voice of Joker in my head is the cartoon character. Like when I, when somebody says the Joker, the first image that pops in my head is the cartoon character, because that's what I grew up on. You know, it's like, and other than that, like I would read, you know, I read comics a lot growing up, but like, there's no voice to that. That's your own internal voice. So for me, like I'm in complete agreement. That's it. You know, Heath Ledger had only a movie of the Joker. So his body of work is much smaller, but like, the Mark Hamlin, what's his name? Hamill? I can't say anyone's name. Yeah, Mark Hamill. That was the body work. How much work it did, the laugh, like you said, everything just A1. Like, I was like, this is it. This is the Joker. Everybody else take note.
All right. So let's ask this question. Who's most likely to start a podcast? What villain in this day and age would sit up, cameras on, microphone connected, and start a podcast and go on tons and tons of monologues?
I got two.
Hit me.
I got Loki and Killmonger.
Oh. I can't really see. Loki's a great one. Because Loki be great. Anyway, he loves himself that much. Good one.
Killmonger likes a good monologue. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, he got a lot to say. Like, yo, y'all doing this wrong. This world is incorrect in this way. Y'all weak because of this. Like, he'd be like one of those alpha, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know.
Wait. It's the visual of Killmonger doing a podcast, and it's like the commercial guys that, you still sitting on your ass? You're not out there working on yourself? It's the visual of that.
Absolutely.
What college is it? What's the college? Is it Everest?
Everest. Yeah, that was Everest.
To swap out Killmonger for that is funny, bro.
Well, I mean, but even like you said, I was thinking more like Andrew Tate kind of thing. Yeah. Like, you know, the Andrew Tate world is just like, you know, I'm going to show y'all this masculinity. Y'all going to understand that I am the alpha and y'all need to learn to be more like me. Like, that would be Killmonger's vibe. Like, he's like, this is, you got to be like me. And then, you know, Loki just going to be like, y'all just need, like, let me try to hypnotize y'all into just following me.
And just loving you know? Every aspect of me.
I'm going to pour nectar into your ears until you love me.
Phrasing. Mike?
I can see, like, Poison Ivy having, like, a sex podcast or some shit like that. You know what I'm saying? how to seduce your man.
Exactly. No. What was that movie with that Poison Ivy? That I was just like, when I was young, I was watching, I was just like,
Uma Thurman.
Yep.
Hey, Mike, you got one with that, bro. I got to give it to you. Poison Ivy's podcast. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I'll be in there. How do I grow this plant? Tell me more about botany, please.
The ASMR of it. Yeah, I'm in. I'm in.
And then you make it wet.
Foul. Very foul. Next question for you guys. You're trapped in an IKEA for 24 hours. Which villain do you want with you, and which one absolutely ruins everything?
Ooh.
Villain for me. I want Lex Luthor to come with me. I want Lex Luthor to come with me because he probably owns everything in there anyway. And I'm not going to have to pay for anything. And it wouldn't even be considered stealing because he actually owns the company or like a branch of it. Who's going to ruin everything for me? Who's just an absolutely dumbass character? Who's a dumbass character?
Juggernaut.
Dumb. Yeah. Brain dead dumb. Professor Xavier's little brother who just got all the muscle. Dumb.
Yeah.
Good call, Mike.
I would take Magneto. That'd be fun because, like, yo, let's build something. He'd be like, done. You know what I'm saying? Like, easy work. I put a screw in this wood and I can move all the wood everywhere. But Juggernaut easily for the, you know, like, the, this is Juggernaut. You don't want to go anywhere with Juggernaut, man.
No.
Unless he's your bodyguard. Even then, I still wouldn't want him. It's like, no, they didn't all need to die, bro. Like, just tell them no. You know? Okay.
What's the why can't I remember her name? The X-Men creature that she can transform into anybody?
Mystique.
Mystique? I have Mystique, the villain.
Wait. Why would you have Mystique? why do you have Mystique, sir?
Lynn, you said it was an overnight stay, right? You said it was overnight, huh? All right.
Hey, Mystique, you can be like, hey, Mystique, have you seen the Uma Thurman poison ivy? Have you seen it, though?
Solid choice.
Okay, and the person I wouldn't, the worst villain I wouldn't want there, like the Blob. Who is it? The Blob, the sloppy dude?
Yep.
You know what I mean? Yep. He's stinking the whole night. Hell no. He's farting the whole night.
That's when you got to play doorknob with him.
That's when you got to play doorknob.
Like it's going to hurt him, the Blob. Yeah. We're going to punch him. We're going to feel it.
Nah, not at all, man. Let's get into villain superlatives, man. So, villain superlatives, I believe is the right way to say that. All right, in which I'm going to read out some of these things, and you guys got to give me just the villain who comes to mind. First one that comes to mind. All right, you guys ready?
Mm-hmm. Let's get it.
Most in need of therapy.
Killmonger.
Thanos.
Love those. Good choices. Villain who would dominate TikTok. I feel like Loki goes in there too.
I was literally going to say Loki.
Hey, Loki. I was going to say Loki.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Why are you forgetting her name? Joker's girlfriend.
Harley Quinn
will go crazy. She go crazy on TikTok.
Yeah. Good choice.
She'd be doing the dances. She'd have the makeup.
I mean, we could bring back Poison Ivy, too. Why are you playing? Just saying, like, you know, like, teach. Look, Cleo, you all right over there, my man? You good?
Yeah, Cleo,
you
really?
You need a moment, bro?
Pamela Icy.
I was saying, Cleo gonna be like, so I'm just so happy the link's in the bio.
Love me some Pamela Isley, bro. Love some Poison Ivy. Next question. Most likely to blame their childhood.
Thanos.
Literally, yeah.
I was gonna say Lex Luthor.
Luthor, yeah. Yep. Self-made man, still has some insecurities, made it to the top, and now we got to, you know, the entire world praises an alien, so he definitely feels a way about that. Most petty?
Ooh. Oh, the yellow flash. I mean, the red flash, whatever, the yellow flash.
Reverse flash.
Pettiest villain ever, hands down. Like,
Eeyore Thawne, yeah.
I can learn how to travel in time. I made you. You know, he literally, like, they wrote this into the comic that he made the Flash on his first time of supposed to be having sex. He went back in time and masturbated him and made him pre-ejaculate.
What?
To destroy his confidence. I'm telling you, look it up.
Hey, man. Yo. Dudes make any excuse they had to do some wild shit like that. That's why I did it. I hated him so much. I pleasured him. That's it's like, come on, brother.
I made you finish before you were supposed to finish. Before you even entered the door. You already finished. Like, killed his mom? Killed his mom. Framed his dad for it.
Yep.
Like, everything, he showed up, like, literally, like, there's a whole series of comics where it shows up, like, he tried to play sports, and every time he tried to catch a ball, he would show up and move his hand until the ball hit him in the face when he was playing, like, baseball and stuff. Like, he literally just hung around this guy's life, his entire life, and made everything as terrible as it can be, as often as possible to traumatize him.
He's the worst. So, that greatest call. Greatest call is 100% Reverse Flash, bro. He's an a-hole in every iteration, too. Like, they've made sure to give him the worst possible things to do to our Flash. Every single one. In the DC animated films, great portrayal of an a-hole. Comic books, the cartoons, Eeyore Thawne, most petty. Stamp it, certified, you're the worst. We got to choose our roommates now, all right? Let's choose our roommates. Let me bring this up for you guys really quickly. Let me show you guys what we're looking like, man. whose house are you rocking with? Who are your roommates? In house one, you got Gollum, Jason, and Voldemort. House two, you got Scar, Mike Myers, and Smith. House three, you've got Lord Farquaad, Pennywise, and Dr. Evil. House four, you got Snow from Hunger Games. Yep. Of course, Jigsaw and Darth Vader. House five, Killmonger, Freddy, and Brennan's personal favorite, Commodus.
Commodus,
excuse me.
Yeah.
Number
three?
I'm going number three. Absolutely. You know why? Here's why. I'm not scared of any of them. Like, Pennywise going for the kids. He don't want the smoke with me. Lord Farquaad is a little person that I will kick in the face if he has a problem. Okay. And dude from Austin Powers is a joke. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's a literal joke. I'm not going to be sleeping one eye up in this house. I'm not worried. You know what I'm saying? I will be the alpha in this room. Ain't going to be no problems. I'm like, Pennywise is the only one I got to keep my eye on. I'm like, all right, you know. Ain't no kids around here. Stay, you know what I'm saying? But, like, that's it. I feel like that's the safest house that I'm going to be able to survive in. That's how I feel.
Okay. If I would go with number – I was thinking number four.
Okay.
Because number four is, okay, Darth Vader – I can hear his ass coming, man. I'm hear him breathing from a mile away before he pull up on me. I guarantee you, 9 times out of 10, he gonna be chilling in the room recovering. Mm-hmm. Jigsaw, he really don't mess. He kind of low key, like, he a villain, but he kind of those one of those villains, like, he don't mess with you if I just make sure I'm appreciating life. I'm not smoking cigarettes around him. Just the living a healthy life. He might be better for me. I might be living better because he's around. And then you got the Hunger Games dude. He really does. He probably gonna be trying to run for political office. He ain't gonna be worried about me at the crib. He gonna come home after a long day of politicking. He ain't gonna bother me. So I'm gonna say number four. I'm going with number four.
What I like about Mike's choice is the fact that him going with number four and Snow's in that house, so it means that's probably the biggest house you're gonna get, right? Lord Farquaad lives in a freaking castle, so those are the only two houses I think on this list in which you guys would have enough space probably to not even run into your roommates because you're not gonna see them. For me, man, I'm trying to see who am I gonna get along with? Who am I gonna get along with? And I don't have anyone on this list that I think I'm actually share any kind of.
And you were Scar for Halloween, bro. You were Scar.
I was. But then Scar is hella sassy, so he's going to, you know, like, my eyebrows are better. You know, like, he's very passive aggressive in the kitchen. Like, I don't, like, bro, get out of my face. You feel me? We end up fighting on, like, the night two.
You got to pick one, bro.
Mike Myers don't talk. So, cool. He's just creepy. But he has loud footsteps, so you would know when he's coming in, around the house. Then we get Smith, who likes to monologue a lot. He likes to talk a lot. So really, I'm tucked in the room anyway. So you know what? I'm with Brendan. Thank you for bringing the comparison of the Scar cosplay Halloween to the real one. I'm going house number two.
Okay. House number two. Okay.
Solid choices, guys. Yo, leave a comment. Let us know which house would you have stayed in. 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. And then give us the reasons why. Set up the scenario. We would love to see how you guys think. I think we got one more game to play before we wrap it up. Do we get to spin the wheel? Okay, looks like we do. Okay. Okay. What do we get? We get two wheels. Ooh. I guess we're going to see which one is the better villain. Who would win in a fight? Jigsaw from the Saw series or Kylo Ren from the Star Wars sequels? Kylo Ren.
It's not even close. That's not even close. That would be over very fast. Do you want to play? Done.
Cruella DeVille from 101 Dalmatians Alien. Or Xenomorph from the Aliens franchise?
Again.
Aliens.
Yeah. Aliens.
Hold on now.
You gonna say she gonna get? Does she get $100? You gonna ask if she get 101?
No. It's like you got to think. Cruella DeVille is all about fashion anyway, and she think about any fashion designer. They wear her whole thing was shaving Dalmatians to give the spots, right? So just think of a world in which they actually did capture a xenomorph and Now she want to wear Xenomorph. Could it be done?
Xenomorph solos the entire 101 Dimensions universe. Like, that whole universe gets solo by Xenomorph.
Good call. Last one. What do we got?
wait, these are all pretty easy.
Is that Miranda, our girl though, right?
Miranda is the older one. The older one in the movie.
That's Meryl Streep. Nah, I'm never betting against Meryl Streep. Meryl Streep wins. Don't care.
I'm gonna take Loki, the god of mischief. I'm gonna take Loki.
Loki wanna be Meryl Streep, bro. What are you talking about? Loki wanna be Miranda.
So he will wear her skin afterwards. Like, that's how that would go.
Hey, man. I want to thank you guys for pulling up to another episode of How to Nerd Podcast Into the Nerdverse, man. I had a great time today talking with my man, Mike Cakes. Mike, talk to him, bro. Where can they find you at? What's coming up next?
Sir, you can always find me with a simple Google, Mike Cakes with a Z, but you can also find me on Twitch, Mike Cakes Live. Lock in.
Brandon, what you got, man? What are we working on? What's coming up next for us?
Hey, man, look, just follow me on at Mr. Producer Face. Oh, wait, no, that's my old one, at Brennan Produces on Instagram. I went back in time there. At Brennan Produces on Instagram, man, I got a lot of fun projects I'm working on. So stay tuned. I ain't even talking about them yet.
That's what it's all about, man. We staying constantly working on new things. What, because I said staying hard?
Yeah, we paused, you know, whatever.
I was going to say staying hard at work, but all good.
No. Yeah, you stopped it. That's what I'm saying. You should have kept going, but, you know.
Correct, but you gotta understand, man. When Mike Cakes is in the building, listen, I've seen this man make scenarios out of anything and have a sir moment. That's my guy, bro. I'm so happy we got him on the podcast as a guest. Make sure you guys continue to tune in for all the amazing episodes we got coming out on How to Nerd. Follow us on all social media platforms and wherever you get your podcasts at any audio streaming platform. We're up there too. So we see you guys on the next episode. We out. Bye, guys. Peace.